time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I mean, look, half the reason I became a sports writer because I was at the John Chaney, John Calipari fight. I thought, if this is what they do every game, I want to cover this.
With SI's Pat Forty.
So I personally think that Juwan Howard is fortunate he still has his job, and it's fortunate he's going to get to coach during the postseason here.
Here's Pat.
All right, welcome to the pod, and let's get ready to rumble! How was that? Not bad, right?
That was pretty good, I gotta say.
That was pretty good.
You know what? Especially Michael Buffer's old enough now, you could probably just slide right in. You could take a spot.
I've met Michael Buffer. I know his brother better. I think his brother is a much better for the UFC. He calls the UFC, and just incredible passion. Half brother. Family business is calling fights. But anyway, Michael Buffer's made a fortune off of that phrase. Just incredible. Anyway, obviously, we are talking about the most exciting thing to happen in the college basketball season so far. The post-game, Juwan Howard, Greg Gard, really Joe Krabbenhoft, Wisconsin assistant, in there too. Players fighting, everything going down. It was phenomenal as far as I'm concerned. Many people are saying it marred the game. Many people are saying it is the end of civilization. Many people are saying everything's ruined. We need to cancel handshake lines. There's disgust and disgrace being expressed. I am not that person.
No, we know you're not.
My favorite hockey player is finishing up a 6-game suspension for sucker punching a goalie when he wasn't looking and then hitting him in the face with a stick. And I thought the 6 games was a little too much, personally. So I'm not going to sit here and one thing and go, look, this is a 2-minute minor in hockey. That said, this is college basketball. I can't be fighting in the damn.
I don't even think it would be a 2-minute minor. The refs would skate in there, break it up, and tell them to play on,
little
right?
It's a little face wash. Like, it's just, I mean, it was open hand slap. It was a little scrum. No, I mean, there were fists thrown. It got out of hand. It should not happen. I'm joking. But I thought it was exciting. Everyone's talking about the Wisconsin-Michigan game.
I was not watching and immediately got a text from somebody that said, did Juwan Howard just get fired? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I saw, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was a rather strong escalation of things. And I think you broke the news, Dan, on Tuesday night of what the, or is it Monday? No, it's Monday night. Of
sources.
There we go.
That, Pete. Take that.
Sources say Juwan Howard gone rest of the regular season, right?
He has been suspended for the rest of the regular season. 5 games. I knew he was not going to coach at home again. The last thing they want is him walking out to a cheering audience, right?
Right.
Yeah, just
right.
Ramping him up.
Yeah. I mean, so they had 4 straight home games.
Then you got the full WWE heel turn. So.
Yes, he will be able to coach the Big Ten tournament unless there's some other incident or something else comes up. But I don't know. I felt as a punishment. Why don't you give me your general thoughts, Pat? Then I'll go to the tail of the tape because I have looked. You'd be surprised. I spent a lot of time looking at the fight.
I am not surprised, but yeah. I will anxiously look forward to hearing that. Juwan Howard's lucky. He is lucky he is still has his job, and he's lucky he's going to be able to coach again this season. He's lucky that he's only going to miss 5 games because that's so far out of bounds for what a college basketball coach should be doing or what I've really ever seen one do during a post-game handshake line. But he has a sideline comportment problem. This is a recurring theme with Juwan Howard. This took it to a different extreme, but this is also the guy that got thrown out of a game his team was winning in the Big Ten tournament last year against Maryland for going after Mark Turgeon, going across midcourt, his assistants all having to push him back to stop him from physically accosting Mark Turgeon. Last year on February 4th, I was at the game when Michigan played Ohio State in Columbus, and an Ohio State player got hurt, asked for a timeout. He got poked in the eye. Howard stormed all the way out to the center jump circle to complain about that. It's like, wait a minute. Why? That guy just got poked in the eye and you're all of a sudden going to turn this into that? So Chris Holtman went out to the center jump circle and they were yelling at each other. It eventually de-escalated from there, but that was a chance for something to get really crazy. He's been ejected recently. He's gotten teased. He walked onto the court to get to grab a loose ball last week. It's like, wait. Somebody remind him what his role is and where it's supposed to be. Okay? It's like he needs a little bit of work on what exactly is happening and what he can and can't do during a game. So I personally think that Juwan Howard is fortunate he still has his job, and it's fortunate he's going to get to coach during the postseason here.
He's got some time to work on that.
He does.
Got some time to work on that. And I think that the history is relevant, right? The Turgeon fight, and it wasn't a fight. That was more what you normally see, right? Guys yelling at each other and all that. My issue with him on that one was his answer on why he did it. And he claimed he's getting charged at. I was raised by my grandmother, but also by Chicago. When a guy's charged you, it's time to defend yourself. Fair enough. Okay. However, that is a great lesson for his grandmother to teach him to survive a tough upbringing in the streets of Chicago and the playgrounds. Pretty much every parent tells their kid to stand up, defend yourself on the play, whatever it is, right? You may be raised by Chicago, but you're employed by Ann Arbor.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, you kind of got to just adjust you just walk away, get paid a lot of money.
Well, and if the 5'10" coach from the other side is coming at you, like, yeah. So what?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? He's not going to hit you, I'm pretty sure.
So that is a problem. He needs to work on that. Otherwise, though, I mean, so there's no excuse for Juwan Howard to be swinging to, we don't know what Joe Krabbenhoff said.
We don't. That is the missing piece in all of this. That's the missing piece.
But still, you can't be swinging. And here's why he's lucky. This is how he's lucky. Player started throwing punches. That could have escalated beyond belief.
Absolutely.
Someone could have gotten injured. Players are probably going to get suspended. We don't know. It's maybe already out or not. Your season, a lot of bad things could happen. We remember the malice of the pal. Like, anything can happen out there. You do not need someone getting injured because of this. So you never want to throw that punch. You're the head coach. Players are going to follow. You're not a player anymore. So all of that, I'm not excusing it. However,
Michigan players explicitly followed his lead and threw punches.
Right. So not good. Not good. However, Wisconsin, great guard. Okay. All right. So I watched the whole film. I've broken this thing down.
Zapruder. Here we go.
Back and to the left. Grassy knoll. It's a shadowy right. Figure.
Yes.
So Howard is pressed. They're down like 19 or something. 15. Whatever it was. Howard is pressing late in the game. Guard puts in his reserves. 10-second clock to get across the line. Guard calls timeout. Now, Howard probably shouldn't be having his guys press. Guard calls timeout. Howard gets very angry about it. Whatever. This is the thing. I will say this. Howard tried to do the right thing. He tried to take an extra minute or a couple seconds to get a breather before he went through the handshake line. He tried to just blow by Greg Gard. And he said something like, you can hear it on some of the things he said. I'll remember this. And he said he did that. Gard decides this is the time to explain the situation. And he stops him and puts his hands on him. Juwan Howard was not in any danger. Did not need to defend himself.
His safety was not in jeopardy, as he put it.
This is a little much. But don't put your hands on me.
Yep.
This is not the time to have a nuanced conversation about, Coach Howard, I was just trying to do the time clock, right? Like, no, let him go by. And Greg Gard was looking for a confrontation. He was looking for a confrontation, and he got one. And then they all screamed at each other. But that got split up. And all Howard kept saying is, don't put your hands on me. And then everyone's crowded in there. And then, the assistant comes over. And that's where Howard got mad. He didn't punch Greg Gard.
No.
And so it's like, if you're the assistant coach at Wisconsin, what are you doing? You're not settling anything down. You're revving it up.
Yeah. You know what? There's people in between them. And actually, Juwan made wait until there were people in between him before he threw the punch.
Well, and let me tell you what. Krabbenhoff is lucky at that.
Yeah.
You do not want to fight Juwan Howard.
No, you don't.
And he's 6'7".
Krabbenhoff's a pretty big guy. So maybe what is he doing? There was some Wisconsin blame here. I'm not giving it all on Howard.
Absolutely. Look, I'd suspend Greg Gard for a game or two. I would start with that because he started the interaction. Okay. He did. So I am not saying Wisconsin is blameless there, but I'm not here to make excuses for Juwan Howard.
No. So Howard's gone 5. Yeah. Give those guys 1 and 2 games each.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with that. I don't really care. at the end of the day, you cannot throw a slap or whatever you want to do. If Howard really wanted to get a hold of him, he was going to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't a full-on fight, but you have to understand that you can't. I mean, your players are going to respond to you. There's just all sorts of different. Yeah. There's a million things.
And yeah, I mean, the Michigan players went after it, and one Wisconsin player threw a punch too. And here's the thing: all right, Musa Diabate, the very talented freshman, who was one of the ones throwing punches and probably one of the ones suspended. He had to be restrained in the Rutgers handshake line. Like, had three or four of his teammates pulling him all the way back, and he was still trying to get away from them and go after somebody. Now, maybe he was provoked. I don't know. But again, where's the decorum here? And who's setting the tone for what the decorum is going to be? By the way, also, Juwan Howard took issue with the timeout, which, okay, that's fine. Although I'm not big on unwritten rules of, you know, you can't call timeout or whatever. Howard called a timeout in the last minute against Indiana with a 16-point lead. And Howard called a timeout late against Purdue when they were winning by about 1,000 points.
Every coach has probably pulled this move, right? Yeah. How many? I would say 90% of the college basketball coaches out there pulled that.
Yeah, they have.
They're very sensitive, too. They're very sensitive.
Oh, very sensitive. And that's where the unwritten rules get so stupid. It's like, you know what? And I said, P.J. Fleck, I liked it, okay? Kirk Ferentz called three timeouts at the end of the game, the football game, when I was winning 35-0. Because he doesn't like P.J. Fleck, and he was rubbing it in. Fleck was asked about it afterwards. He said, hey, they're his timeouts. They're his to use whenever they want, so I have no problem with it. That's how you handle that.
Yeah, don't let them know that you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the coaches are just sensitive. This time of year, too, they all hate the teams.
I'm telling you, mid-February, it's like you can clockwork. Some coach or multiple coaches will lose their minds in basketball.
Yeah, it's like you guys are being paid millions of dollars to coach a basketball team. Like, jeez. Yep. You guys have got it made. I know there's a lot of work and stress, but not that much. They're going to fire Juwan Howard, competitive guy, but it's not like he's, you know. I like a good coach battle. We probably don't need to get physical. I mean, look, half the reason I became a sports writer because I was at the John Chaney, John Calipari fight. I thought, if this is what they do every game, I want to cover this. John Chaney came into the post-game press conference. Not even the handshake line. You can see things getting heated. The late, great John Chaney, love the dude, storms the press conference to try to beat his ass.
I'll kill you. He didn't get to the podium, though. You didn't have that. He didn't actually. The fists of fury did not fly, right?
Only because there were two players there.
Yeah.
Mike Williams and Derek Kellogg, who's now the coach at LIU Brooklyn, got in the way, and he basically got physical with them. And you know what? You know what John Chaney got for storming a press conference, putting his hands on two players and threatening. He was threatening to kill John Calipari. And not only that, it was like he might be able to do it. I mean, this wasn't like, I mean, I don't want to be getting, I don't need John Chaney beating on me, man. That's that guy. There's a lot of fight in that dude.
Yes.
He got one game.
There you go.
One game. The 90s were the best, though.
Rick Barnes punched a fan when he was the coach at Providence. The fan was from Villanova, was saying some racist stuff and like ran on the court after the game, and Barnes punched him. This was when he was fairly new at Providence, so late 80s. And he was summoned to like breakfast the next day with Dave Gavitt, the commissioner of the Big East. Gavitt chatted with him throughout breakfast, or maybe it was lunch, didn't say anything about it, and on the way out just put his hand on the back of his neck and said, we can't be punching the fans, Rick. That was it. There was no suspension because it wasn't on TV. Nobody caught it.
He was asked about his reaction to Howard today, actually, and he said, I can't throw any stones. I made plenty of mistakes, you know, referencing that as a young coach. So
yeah.
John Chaney extended his apology to everyone for yesterday's unfortunate incident following the basketball game to the Atlantic. It just doesn't sound like him at all.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine being the poor administrator? Like, who's going to go in and tell Chaney he's got to write an apology? Cal actually became friends after that. I mean, you know, it was what it was, but I love John Chaney, man. We need more of that. We need more. See, that's the thing.
So now, do you have a tale of the tape? You alluded to a tale of the tape.
Well, that was it. I went through it all. I don't have the, I mean.
Oh, okay. I thought you had like Greg Guard's reach.
He's like 5'11". Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
Guard's reach.
This is my other thing with Guard. I don't know. I mean, he basically goes in the press conference and says, well, I don't think Howard understood the rule that you could reset the 10-second clock. And I don't know whether he knows the rule or not. I don't know anything. Or you can throw that out there how we would ever know. But, man, like, Juwan Howard's, like, played 3 years in college, like, 18 years in the NBA. He's an assistant coach in Miami for 6 years. Like, it's the best run organization in the NBA.
Yeah.
Coached now, under Pat Riley. And
Juwan Howard doesn't need a lesson on how the game goes.
Why do you assume he doesn't know what the rule is?
Right.
Like, yeah. You know, I'm not saying Juwan Howard isn't hypocritical with all this or isn't wrong, but it was like, man, everyone's jumping on Juwan Howard doesn't know the rule. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot for me to take. I'm not buying that one. I mean, let me look at how many games. Man made $214 million playing basketball.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. He doesn't need the money to coach college basketball. That's for sure.
No, he played in 1,208 games in the NBA. You know how damn good you got to be to last that long?
Well,
he's in his third year as a head coach. He was an assistant coach for, I think, 5 years or six seasons,
I believe,
in the NBA. And we're going, he probably doesn't know the rule. Interesting. I don't know whether there's that tension. Who knows what happened? Look, it got everybody fired up for college hoops.
It did. And now, hey, Phil Martelli has a chance to lead Michigan to the NCAA tournament. We'll see how he can get them through these five games here. But Phil Martelli, the former great coach at St. Joseph's, who was fired there, or at least forced out acrimoniously, very kind of bitter ending to a long and great tenure there. And he's been Juwan Howard's Yoda on the bench at Michigan. And I am sure he will take over the reins with a team that's a bubble team right now. So he's inheriting quite an interesting situation.
14-11, 8-7. And that's the thing. They got four home games. You know, you could, this kind of can screw up the whole season, right? They made the Elite Eight last year. His first year at Michigan, they didn't have a March Madness, but he's 56-28. We'll see where it goes. I don't think Juwan, last year's run was really impressive. 14-3 in the Big Ten, 23-5. I mean, they had a great year last year.
Won
the regular season Big Ten, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were number one seed in the tournament, right? I mean,
The regular, you know, so.
He had a great year last year. This year's been disappointment, pretty big disappointment, really. Started the year in the top 10, had 2 5-star recruits come in, but they're a little backcourt deficient. It's been Hunter Dickinson and sometimes not a lot else. And they've missed Franz Wagner, who's, you know, doing well in the NBA. And
this will go one of two ways. I mean, sometimes these things can really rally a team. So we will see. But two minute minor for roughing.
No. There we go. Wetzel got a fight in. That's good.
Don't do it again, though, because you're going to lose your job if this happens. Can't happen again. Can't happen again. It's one of those coincidences that keep happening, like Brad Marchand.
That's right.
Hitting guys in the face with a stick. I mean, it just tends to happen more often with certain people.
Right. Brad Davison of Wisconsin ending up in various entanglements with other players.
Right. Grayson Allen always tripping people. Just legs get caught up. It's just an honest mistake.
We've had college basketball fights, but we haven't had a good college football fruckus in a while.
No, like not since Dan gave the small sample Heisman to the Missouri guy in 2020.
A little bit before that, we had the Mike Gundy Tom Herman fight.
That was like that was just some yelling at each other,
right? Yeah. Platt
declared Gundy all mullet, no muscle. I don't know, man. I've seen him in his farm on his reality show, like lifting bales of hay and stuff. He's wiry.
I unless he's got one of his guns out shooting rattlesnakes, I ain't scared of no Mike Gundy.
All right.
He's like that lightweight wrestler in high school that you think he could take, but I don't know. Once you actually take off the gloves and
the guy that all of a sudden you see him at a party lifting a full keg and like, never mind.
Okay, this guy's not gonna mess pretty with strong. Him. Yeah, country strong Gundy over there.
I always say, do not, if you're at a UFC card, they have them at these casinos and stuff, you know, right? Be like MGM. Now they're over at T-Mobile a lot, but they used to have them at the MGM, and those lobby bars would be crowded with all these people that were fans, fighter. I mean, everyone would be there, right, the night before.
Yeah.
They're not the people that were in the fight, but like just the MMA crowd, right?
Right.
I'm like, do not get in a fight. I don't care if it's a woman. Like if she, I just run the other way at all times.
Don't fight any of those people.
Right. A 115 pound female MMA fighter will twist you up and like your leg will be wrapped around your neck and you'll be unconscious. This is no, if a bar room brawl breaks out here, just get that, go jump through the window like the old Western. Probably it's already out by the time you hear this, but Matt Norlander reporting Wisconsin will abide by whatever punishments the Big Ten will be handing down. So whatever, if the Big Ten suspends anybody, they'll go with it, but they're not throwing anything else on. Yeah, I think they might, you know, maybe, but whatever. Hey, stand by your guy.
We'll see what we're still, as of this recording, still waiting to hear from the Big Ten. I think their statement said they were going to be quick. They haven't been quick.
Busy designing a playoff.
Yeah.
In non-coach throwdown news, college football playoff is not expanding until 2026 at least. This is not a surprise. We've been worried about the fate of the once celebrated college football playoff expansion that was hastily pretty much announced and celebrated and then fell apart in classic college football fashion. They got to the 1 yard line, somehow ran it like a Brian Hartson goal line offense. Vote was 8-3 to go to the plan that everyone used to like. The Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 were the no's. The alliance held solid, although the Pac-12 sent out mixed messages expressing its disappointment that the vote didn't go well and then committing itself to expansion. And then, but they voted no. So not sure how that worked. But then again, this is college football. So
the Pac-12 has attempted to land on all sides of that issue.
Yeah. Pac-12 is playing all sides. Bill Hancock, the board of managers, accepted a recommendation from the management. I mean, you know, we're two groups in. This statement, let's see, 11 words in, and we've already gotten two groups. neither of which I know what they are.
Yeah.
The board of managers and the management committee.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is our problem here.
Exactly. You might have an unfunctioning bureaucracy if... You've got two boards involved right away.
Well, one board, one committee.
Okay. Yeah.
Board of managers, but the management committee.
There you go.
So, I mean, I don't know how you get this wrong, Pat. Remember for all those years, they used to say the presidents wouldn't go for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you talk to presidents, like, they never bring it to us. And then, so this time it was the presidents that wanted to get it done. It was these guys that couldn't do it. They're going to meet again in April. But, you know, nothing will happen there. I mean, look, probably at this point, we were going to get the four-teamer for two more years anyway. So this is probably just a two-year delay. We'll get into all the more ramifications. Yeah, I mean, these guys have screwed this thing up so many times. At this point, it's like, all right, two more years. I mean, there's a lot changing in college sports. I'm not even, like, upset about it. It's just like, whatever. We get some nostalgia. This is like, we're going to get, like encore for the band, like the rock band or something. Like we're going to get, you know, two extra years of press releases about how New Year's Eve's a good idea for games.
Yeah.
Two more years, Ari Fleischer sports publicity, ripping them off with a ski mask and stealing their money just for old time's sake. Two more years of the Rose Bowl pretending that they're not the problem. I think it's going to be great. Two more years of some athletic director trying to make sense of igniting a controversy over who's ranked 18th and 19th with 5 weeks to go. I mean,
you really do paint a rosy picture. God, this is going to be fun.
I can't quit you. All right. their mistake was announcing it. Again, this is just the worst marketed thing ever. What sport has a playoff that everyone hates?
This one. That's the only one. Really is the only one. And yeah, if you go back to June or whenever they came up with this, and all of a sudden they just launched that thing out there in like paragraph 13 of the release, and it's like, wait a minute, what? And then everybody's like, oh. Wow, that's big, and oh, that's good, and oh, think of this, oh, that, yeah, that could be really neat, and then oh, no. So we didn't get everyone involved and have everybody sign off on it, and then we had the aggression, the border aggression of the annexation of Texas and Oklahoma, and that really sent everything south. And since then, now we've been stuck in this war of wills, war of egos, you know, just absolute obstinacy that is holding back something from the, like, one of the rare, really popular moves they have made with a college football postseason, and they're like, then they can't do it.
But that, yeah, and then they took it away.
Yeah.
Again, right. Like, it's just, I don't want to pick on Ari Fleischer publicity a lot, but yeah, I mean, what the hell? Yeah, I mean, like, why do you have something that everyone hates, yet you keep with the brand manager? And then he screws it up even more by announcing it, and everyone gets excited, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, you're losing that. It's like, you know.
That's right.
It's like asking Santa saying you're getting it, and then Santa saying, no, not this year.
Santa said, well, we talked to the elves, and the elves couldn't agree on how to make it.
Right, it wasn't even the naughty list or anything like that.
No, it's just, we just didn't get around to making it. Sorry, kid. Greg Red Sankey, wagon, no, couldn't do it.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, I don't think the new format becomes easier. In fact, it becomes more complicated. It's true because they are starting from scratch. From our perspective, we're going to have to rethink our position on expansion based on how others approach the conversation that really they initiated. And I don't expect that to get any easier. I think Sankey's pissed that he spent a year coming up with a very, very, very good playoff, gave plenty for the SEC, and had these guys pick it apart and then vote now.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's furious. Yeah, I think he's kind of made that repeatedly clear. It was clear at the championship. He was blowing steam out of his ears then, and I don't think he stopped. And now, you know, that they've officially pulled the plug on this thing, yeah. Now it's like, yeah, okay, you had your chance, and maybe out of spite, we'll just not to go along with anything the way you guys didn't go along with anything. There is no doubt, you know, there is some backlash to the SEC that is still being waded through here. But if that's the only reason that people are stopping going ahead with this, I think that is, again, college football not looking out for its own best interests as a whole.
So I think the SEC has more power now than ever. This was the last play for these other leagues to really claim any say in this. Maybe the Big Ten has some power because they have big TV markets. But right now, the SEC's group is the SEC, the Big 12, Notre Dame, and the five smaller conferences. They can sit there. I think the SEC, particularly if it can pick off the wobbly Pac-12 and add the Pac-12, they could sit there and say, we're doing our own 8 or 12 team playoff. If the others want to join in, if the ACC and Big 10 want to join in, we're going to go with the 12 team playoff that we designed already, or maybe we even make it more favorable to us, or you're out. We'll just do 8 on our own. You can't have a national playoff without the SEC.
Nope.
It can't happen.
Not yet in a 14.
It hasn't yet, right. Yeah. And they're only getting stronger. They have options galore now. They could take 16 teams in their league, cancel the SEC championship game, play a 3-round 8-team playoff within themselves.
Yep.
And make a gazillion dollars and then say, we'll play Notre Dame or the Big 12. Big 12 and Notre Dame could play each other somewhere, and we'll play the winner on New Year's Day at the Sugar Bowl. That's our playoff. Everyone else is out.
That would be a salty little deal.
I think the Big 12 and the Notre Dame would go, all right.
Oh, they would.
Like, you want to risk that. And Big 10, and in the moment they have the SEC says, we're doing a playoff. This is the playoff. Ohio State is going to, they can't sit it out.
Right.
The recruit, you'll get killed on recruiting, and whatever Ohio State wants, the Big Ten's got to go with it.
Get killed on recruiting, like, killed in PR.
Killed in recruiting, killed in revenue, killed in, you know, revenue, they'll be fine. But I just think there's a way for the SEC to get really nasty here, because these other leagues, Notre Dame doesn't want to join a conference, and Notre Dame needs a viable path to whatever is considered the quote unquote national title. The Big 12 is, I mean, they got robbed, but they know that the guy that robbed them is their best bit. I mean, you know, it's a little sad and pathetic, but this is where we're at. Stockholm syndrome or something like that. Yeah. But if you sit there and say, hey, you know what? This is, you got, we'll put these others in there. And I mean, I don't know. It's not ideal, but particularly if the Pac-12 were to jump, I mean, I don't know what's the Big 10 going to do? Well, we're going back to playing in the Rose Bowl. We'll just play the best, like. The SEC has enormous power now.
Absolutely.
And I don't know you get as good of a deal as you just gave up. The Big Ten was the school, the league that got the most teams in, and I believe the most home games when we gamed it out in the old system, in the system that was proposed. And yet the Big Ten opposed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's actually, if you want to even add a layer to what the SEC power play could look like, you'd have, yes, them do their own little playoff. You take the Big 12 champion. If you bring in the Pac-12, you get the Pac-12 champion. And then you got Notre Dame. And then you have a group of five champion. So you got those four on one side and the SEC on the other. And you play it out. And the winner of the other side plays the best team from the SEC.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then the Big 12, Big 10. And the SEC
controls seven playoff games.
Right.
All television, home field playoff games with their 16. They take the top two in every division. Winners host. Cross it over. It's the AFC and NFC.
Yeah.
Right. And then, okay. So everyone plays and, whatever. You seed them. You got more home games. You got seven playoff games to sell. You're going to get absolutely monstrous things. And the Big Ten's going to be standing around going, well, we got this flower parade and the sunset. Just phenomenal. And that'll get a nice TV rating. But these guys are going to be sitting on seven playoff games and then an eighth, or I guess then an eighth against, Notre Dame every year, what they're going to wax most years. And then to crown themselves national champs.
Yeah.
All good. And
the Big Ten can crown the Rose Bowl winner as the national champion.
Yeah, ooh, I mean, we can go back to that. Yeah. But that's going, guess what kids are going to want to play in?
Of course.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that's it. And I did coming off of this. But Greg Sankey and these guys have got a couple years to come up with, take this or we're going this way. We have a nuclear option here.
Yeah,
and they've got some nice allies in the Big 12 and Notre Dame that are willing to basically back them at this point.
Yeah, and and quite frankly, yes. I mean, from the sound of it, Sankey is angry and motivated. So, if he's now saying, we may just pull out of the whole thing, pull out of our support for an expanded playoff, and then, why not just pull out of the whole thing and do your own deal? I don't think all this would happen, but it's interesting to think about because they do have all the chips.
They got a lot of chips. They got a lot of them. I don't know if all, but they got a lot. I mean, it would not be as good. Mm-mm. But all you're doing is delaying this 2 years. You pulled the cord. You went nuclear on your side to delay a very equitable 12-team playoff by 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, look, next season and the season after, we're going to be under the current deal. They just can't.
Yeah.
Maybe if they moved heaven and earth, they can get that. It would have been three. But it's not like you just secured a 10-year package and you kick this can down the road a long time.
No.
You kicked it down the road 2 years, and now who knows what power you've got.
Right.
Who knows if the ACC gets back in the playoff next year?
No.
Who knows if the Pac-12 keeps sitting out? Notre Dame is recruiting at a level that they can get in again, keep getting in.
Sure.
So isn't USC, but, not great.
No, I'd say the chances are more likely than not that the Pac-12 is not getting in those two extra playoffs. That they could have given themselves a much better chance. And now,
I don't know that there's a long term plan. The Alliance, I don't think, has thought this through and has got this this is how we're gonna checkmate the SEC. Yeah.
But remember, they looked each other in the eye, Dan.
Well, they did, and they looked each other in the eye, and they all jumped off the cliff together.
Yeah, they did. They Thelma and Louise right off the cliff.
I want a national tournament. I want all the leagues to have a shot. I want football to be good in all regions of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the Big Ten boxed out. I don't want a Pitt winning the ACC and not getting. No one will remember in 6 months.
Right. And right? Kenny Pickett then sitting out the bowl game.
Is Kenny Pickett sitting out the bowl game? Like nothing happening. Like, I don't want all that. I want a real playoff. And we had a real playoff. And it's going to happen. It's not going to stop. And now you've given that up. And okay, you played your card. But what now? You just now have to hope the SEC comes back and offers the same deal. Well, why would they? They have a chance to bust it up. Maybe if they sit there and go, all right, we got 20. You guys, why don't we just say, look, this is going to be our playoff, and maybe we need to go to 24.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing now. Yes, as you said, they have 2 extra years to do nothing but scheme of ways to improve themselves. And
well, they probably win the title anyway.
Right. And so they could make a really dramatic power play here if they just could look, if Sankey sat back and said, let's just destabilize everybody and go get the eight next best teams and create the superpower division.
And, you know, we talk about, like, it's really hard to leave the Big Ten because for all the football money there is, they're part of this, you know, research consortium that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars and all the different things. And there's a lot to it, and recruiting of students. And, you know, there's just a lot going on. It'd be very, very hard. But who the heck knows? I know this, like, you cannot recruit unless you have a path to the title. We can talk NIL. We can talk TV. We can talk budgets. We can talk anything you want. But at some point, kids want to go play for the national championship. That's why they're all going to the SEC now.
It is.
But if your league is playing in something else.
Yeah. Good luck.
You know, look at Gonzaga basketball. They're signing number one players in the country because their league stinks, but they're going to get to play in March Madness. Now, if they're not in March Madness, they can't get Chet Holmgren.
Right. Oh, no. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. They're going to Final Fours.
Right.
They're ranked number one. And that's what's drawing the players there. See, that you can compete for a national championship at Gonzaga. And yeah, the schools that are giving away the most important selling chip, I don't understand. I really, really don't.
We will see. It'll be very, very interesting to see if the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 get as good of a deal in 2 years or so when they announce the new deal, maybe 3 years. Because, I mean, again, it's just so quick. They're going to start negotiating this soon.
Yeah, right.
And so in under two, you know, it might be literally less than 2 years from now, 22 months from now, they announce what they're going to do in 2026-27 seasons, so the fall of 2026. I don't know. We will see if they did it, but I'm intrigued. There's plenty of people who have concepts that do not want to, you can secretly call me and explain what the hell your little plan is. Tell me how this is all going to be okay for you. It might be. I just can't fathom it at this point. I haven't heard anyone explain it to me. So,
and yeah, I just, all the more, I would love to be in the room and hear what the level of acrimony is and frustration, and what, you know, what do Kevin Warren and Jim Phillips and George Kliakoff say when they're asked, like, why are you stopping this? I mean, are they offering compelling answers, or is it just, we're not playing ball with you? I don't know.
How about this? The Big Ten, their media deal runs through 2022-23, and they have an exclusive negotiating window with ESPN. Sports Business Journal said it could likely get to $1 billion per year for their TV rights for all sports. That's more than double the $440 million currently paid by Fox and ESPN. The one thing Big Ten has done very smartly is take short deals and watch the market go up.
Yep.
The ACC is the one that's sitting there for, what is it, 2037?
Yeah. 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 The ACC locked themselves into like a terrible mortgage, you know, forever that they can't even renegotiate.
Yeah. There is, you know, the SEC did that once. Remember, their CBS deal was worth like nothing. So, you know, there is talk NBC might jump in and package it around Notre Dame. CBS could be in, ESPN. There could be all sorts of a different thing. The Big Ten is not as good football wise competitively as the SEC, but it has massive television markets, puts out huge games. The big noon games have been big.
Yeah. Big alumni bases,
big alumni, big brands, the whole thing. Yep. Right. But how much would this play into, like, what the hell's your plan? I mean, if I'm ESPN, if I'm dropping $1 billion on these guys, I want an out clause. I want a clause out if they don't get like a favorable spot in a playoff.
Sure. No, I would think the actual contract work is going to be really complex, intense, full of those sort of things, like leverages out, buyout, or ways to get out unless things are actually done in a way that's kind of advantageous for everybody, which is another reason it's going to take a few years probably to work all this out. First of all, yes, which media properties are interested? And then B, how does it break down? And what sort of safeguards do the media companies get for their investment, their massive investment here?
In not so good Big Ten business news, Urban Meyer's Pint House is going under. It's going to get a new name.
We were going to have a live pod there week one. Watch all the games.
Lasted about 9 months or as long as his NFL coaching career. We have no idea what happens to that one young lady.
Yeah.
Where Urban goes to get his grind on now when he's home.
Hopefully not a steakhouse. That was just a weird move regardless. I've never been there, but...
But that, you know what? You know it's bad when you got to take Urban's name off something in Columbus. Things have soured.
I mean, it just got... Okay, that place was designed for, like, middle-aged guys, right? Urban Meyer's name as a brand. You don't open a bar with Urban Meyer... although maybe this has changed now. You don't open as like a nightclub hoping to get like 21-year-olds, right?
Right. No.
Like that's not the brand. The brand is like,
yeah,
you know, a bunch of rich suburban guys sitting around talking about how much they hate Michigan. That's
exactly.
And eating some steak.
Go in and order a $58 steak. Right. And
none of their wives are letting him go to this place now because it's like a gentleman's club or something. Like they don't know what it is. And I think this is my take. I mean, the Yelp reviews are either one star or like 14 stars. And I don't want to know what happened with the 14.
Yeah, you have to now say we're just going to the Chop House. That's you know, leave everything
we'll go in
else
that
out.
Urban, the, yeah. Right, the champagne room. Does Urban go anymore? Is he allowed in?
I would think not. Like,
I mean, it's pretty basic stuff, you know, short rib nachos.
Yeah. How much? How much for the short rib nachos?
18. That's a shareable. It's a shareable.
Yeah, that's shareable. Better be shareable.
Nashville hot.
That's like LA prices in Ohio, man. I ain't going there.
Buckeye cheesecake.
What does it cost for a draft beer there, Dan?
Oh, the petite filet is $39.
Yeah, that's not an outrageous.
Let's see. The beer menu is, let's see what we got. $6 Yingling draft. $7, you can get a Pacifico or a Stella.
$7 for Pacifico? No, that's a no.
Well, they also got the Sam. I got Angry Orchard, Guinness.
Yeah, I don't like the selection already. I'm totally down on
Columbus Brewing
place.
Company. I don't know. The BODHI. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right.
OH. They just stand around in there getting drunk, yelling OHIO. That's it.
I'm sure.
Playing Hang On Sloopies, the only song on the jukebox. Yeah.
No, you're describing the $4 Yingling place down the street. That's where we need to go, is the Hang On Sloopy jukebox. This place sounds like overpriced nachos, and I'm out.
Yeah. Eddie George has a place in Columbus. I've eaten at that.
$6, you get a 16-ounce Miller Lite, Coors, Mick Ultra, Bud Light, or Bud.
I know. If you want to go,
it's dead now.
Yeah. Go to Eddie George's place. It's better, probably.
All right. The most sent to a story. Combines multiple things here. Our Fat Bear Week. It is not Fat Bear Week.
No, but
and this guy, a 500-pound bear in California, actually would not be fat enough to win Fat Bear Week.
No,
I believe those guys
are
much bigger.
Some of those are over 1,000, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is a big bear.
It's mostly bear versus black bear. Right. If there were among black bears, he'd be a large black bear.
California's a big state, but don't mess with Alaska.
That's right.
A lot of people are like, I want to enter this guy. But a 500-pound bear is terrorizing a community in South Lake Tahoe, California. It is a 500-pound nuisance. Has broken into more than 24 homes to rummage for food, leaving a trail of damage behind.
Hank the Tank.
Hank the Tank is his name. So far, nobody has been able to deter Hank. This is from the New York Times. I think we're bringing all of this crap mainstream. We now have the New York Times writing about fat bears.
Look, again, we got the tap water introduced in the Super Bowl dialogue. Now we're getting fat bears talked about by the New York Times. Influencers right here.
The local fish and wildlife guy says they've tried to haze the bear with paintballs, bean bags, sirens and tasers, but he is too drawn to humans and their food to stay away. Easier to find leftover pizza than go in the forest, said Mr. Tierra of the Peter Tierra. Indeed, it is. I never go looking for food and sleep.
He's unstoppable. I mean, this is like blocking Vince Wilfork. This bear, you cannot move him. You can't keep him out.
They are trying to trap him. This bear has lost all fear of people, says Mr. Tierra. It's a potentially dangerous situation. They're going to kill this thing. They're going to euthanize him.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, that is. He didn't get fat like that eating berries and grubs. Well, go up to Alaska. So this guy's just like, yeah, he's just, he's breaking into the home.
How about that? Yeah.
Would there be a more terrifying damn thing than coming downstairs like middle of the night and you walk through your kitchen and there's a damn bear with the fridge open?
In my kitchen. Other than that,
I will tell you this: one time we were at some friend's cabin in the mountains of North Carolina near Asheville. We went out to dinner. We came back. Cabin had been ransacked by a bear, a black bear. Fur all over the place. Refrigerator open. Whipped cream all over the place. Yeah.
Whipped cream.
Yeah. The bear had a big time with the whipped cream.
And then left.
Ate, smashed and grabbed and ran.
What, had you break a window or open the door?
Through the kitchen window.
Left it open?
Yeah. And
oh my
bear
God.
Bear had some, was mobile, agile, hostile, and liked whipped cream. Yep.
Okay. I'm heading to the Holiday Inn after that trip.
It was, it's terrifying. Yes. I mean, you walk in and there is stuff like all over. You're like, oh my gosh, what was this like?
I feel bad for Hank the Tank. Tank's just getting some dinner. He should be able they should let him be able to hang out behind the Taco Bell or something and like get food every night or something.
There you go. You know, give Hank his space. But yeah, like 500 pounds, he'd be like a welterweight bear in Fat Bear Week, you know? Weight classes.
They have a picture of Hank. This is the stuff that I find hysterical is like Hank does not know that his picture has been taken or that pictures exist and been sent around the world on the New York Times front page of the New York Times and the New York Times Twitter feed, which has 51.6 million followers. Like this is this Hank walking and he like
local celebrity
people all over the world.
Now Hank global.
Yeah. Hank wants some leftover Red Baron.
So Cal hasn't had a live mascot since 1941.
Oh, Cal Bears. Yeah.
Lake Tahoe, Northern California. Can we just move him over to Berkeley? Mike has that $2 million palace that he lives in down in Baton Rouge. Why don't we, they have plenty of money up there in Berkeley. Why don't they?
It's a great idea, except they never want to spend any of their money on athletics in Berkeley. So $2 million for a tiger at LSU. Absolutely. $2 million for a bear cow.
He could be like you could also make him like the animal science mascot, the school.
There'd be protests. There'd be protests. It's a wonder that even the bear logo hasn't been canceled.
That's true. There were protests last time Tennessee played up there in 2006, which is John Jackson, you know, the Wizard of Returns, that famous game. There were naked people up in the trees.
Of course, to keep them from cutting down the trees. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Ole Miss calls themselves the Black Bears sometimes, right? Maybe he can go to Mississippi.
Maine has Black Bears.
Maine, absolutely.
Hank the Tank.
Hank's probably used to the Cali lifestyle, though. He might be.
Get him some weed. He gets the munchies. And this is what happens. And
just enjoy a nice later. Weather. Yeah,
it's all making sense now.
Poor Hank. I want Hank to live. Make a run for it, Hank.
So the Bear League has reached out to the California Fish and Wildlife Department, and they could potentially relocate him. They're looking to not kill him.
Quick, I guess, would you eat it? Bizarro, McDonald's in China, Chinese McDonald's.
Yeah, which launching... really, let's be honest, I wouldn't have made it through the 08 Summer Olympics in Beijing without the McDonald's there.
Yeah, McDonald's, I mean, wherever you are, McDonald's comes through. Yeah, losing McDonald's as an Olympic sponsor was a big blow to the dining options of... of the assorted officials and coaches and everybody. I remember the athletes. I remember in 2018 summer or winter Olympics when the men's USA men's curling won, they were going to McDonald's to celebrate. That Matt Hamilton was going to get a McFlurry to celebrate his gold medal. Nothing more American. So McDonald's is offering the cilantro sundae. A cilantro sundae.
Say that again. Cilantro sundae.
A cilantro sundae. Now, this sundae, if you look at it, we have very little information, but we do have a picture. It is ice cream, apparently, some kind of green sort of like syrup, and then actual cilantro leaves on top. Like you're getting roughage in your sundae. Now, sundaes sometimes have bananas, right? Or like cherry. You get fruit in there, but I've never seen it with cilantro. What? I think like Mexican food.
Of course. That's, you know, a burrito topping, a taco topping.
Yeah. It's not, I also do not think of dessert.
No, it's not supposed to be on ice cream or a sundae of any kind. No. No, I'm sorry. That's got to go. Or at least just keep it in China.
There's a response underneath the tweet where there is a chili paste pork ice cream from Thailand at one point too.
What?
So I'm actually more about that because I like a little spicy pork. I could see the sweet, spicy barbecue kind of get down with that maybe, but no, yeah, not a giant cilantro. Not cilantro.
Yeah, they really do got some. They also have the bloody sundae.
What? That sounds.
Oh my God.
That's a U2
Sunday,
song. Wait a minute.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
That's a U2 song.
I know. What? Oh, this thread gets. Well, this thing goes in all sorts of directions.
Who knew how bizarre sundaes could be, huh?
I'm not touching that. I'm not having a cilantro sundae. I'm a no on would you eat it.
Yeah, I'm a no.
That's a no.
I have a hard time telling cilantro apart from parsley, like when you're trying to buy it. And if I accidentally get like a parsley sundae, I think that would even be worse. I don't know. I don't want either one. I want no green leafy vegetables on my sundae, period.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I don't know. But hey, clearly they've market tested. McDonald's doesn't make a lot of mistakes now. This is the scary thing. Generally, McDonald's knows what you want before you know what you want.
So you think they're test driving this in China and then bringing it over?
Well, here's the other thing. They just launched the Land, Air, and Sea, too, and they must have tested that. And I guarantee you that those aren't selling.
So that's a little bit of a scam. I figured this out. Do you know that can often come with some assembly required?
Some assembly required? They give you the patties and you got to put it together?
You buy the Land, Sea, and Air, if you guys did not listen previously, is a McDonald's, a menu hack where you get the double cheeseburger, and then you get a chicken McChicken sandwich, and then you get a Filet-O-Fish. And you basically split the two cheeseburgers, and you lay in the chicken and the fish. And that's you get the land is the beef, and the air is the chicken.
Even though they're poor flyers, but yeah.
Yeah, what a it's McDonald's, you know. I mean, they should have caught the Hamburglar, but they never did. I mean, nothing really makes sense over there. How did he get his reign of terror going so long? Hank the Tank, they're gonna take down, but not the Hamburglar. Anyway, yeah, what if you order it? Some people are saying they'll just give you the three sandwiches. So it's just a way to trick you.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, like it's DIY. Like. I know. I want them to make it.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it myself. I want them to make it.
I mean, so yeah.
Plus, you're gonna have extra buns, and it's just a mess.
Right. I mean, especially if there's like pickles or tartar sauce on the fish, and you got to maneuver around that. Like, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah. Well, that is it. I don't know. I'm eating it, but I will say this: there is 1.4 million potential customers in China, and McDonald's is rolling this out, and they think that that consumer in those markets will eat cilantro on top of a sundae. I think they'll probably be right.
Well, again, if it comes to these shores, I will have to see people eating it to believe that it has any chance of success.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see. All right. That's we'll end on would you eat it? We got a lot of other news of the weird, but too much stuff, Pat. Too much stuff happens. We got to get more college hoops going too. We got a couple weeks here. So,
yep. Like I said, though, teams are reaching the breaking point. There's going to be stuff happening. We'll have things to talk about.
Okay. So, any coaches still listening, you want to get in a scrap with somebody, try to do it around our pod schedule. We're going to tape again on Thursday.
Yeah. So Wednesday night, if you want to throw down.
Wednesday night would be great. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night would be great. Don't do it Thursday night. Then we get lost in the weekend. So, be safe out there in the handshake line. It's dangerous. Thank you for listening. Continue to support us. Share with your friends and share us on social media and subscribe and all those other things I'm supposed to say. Sully wants me to say that I always forget. Talk to you later.